Remarks of the President. Cut Bank, Montana, 30 September 1952.
Pleasure to introduce to you the candidates on the Democratic ticket in the state of Montana. First, I will present the man who handles the affairs of the Supreme Court, your present clerk of the Supreme Court of Montana, and candidate for re-election, Frank Murray.
Well, I say hello to all the kids here, and Eric Cloak, my good friend, superintendent of schools at Browning. Thanks a million for being here.
Next, I wish to present your present state auditor and candidate for re-election, John Holmes. And next, I want to present that admirable young woman who has done such a magnificent job for education in Montana, your state superintendent of schools and candidate for re-election, Mary Condon. It is now my privilege to present to you your state attorney general who handles the legal business for the sovereign state of Montana, candidate for re-election, Arnold C. Olson.
Hey, all. God bless y'all.
And now your candidate and next lieutenant governor of the state of Montana, Jack Toole of Shelby.
Howdy, folks.
It is now my pleasure to present the next congressman from the 2nd District for the state of Montana, Willard Fraser of Billings.
Thank you, folks. Thank you very much.
And now, it is my pleasure to present to you not only your present congressman from the 1st District, but your next Democratic United States Senator, Mike Mansfield. And now we have the privilege and pleasure to present your present and senior United States Senator, James E. Murray. It is now my pleasure to present to you a man who has done such a magnificent job in administering the affairs of our state government, our great Governor John W. Bonner, who will introduce the President of the United States, Governor John Bonner.
Noon. It's my privilege and my honor this evening to introduce to you the President of the United States of America, Harry S. Truman. Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much for that wonderful and enthusiastic welcome. We know I've heard a great deal about this town. Great many stories about it. What a wonderful place it is. But they tell me that it's most famous for that wonderful high school choir over there. We have a choir of the same sort in the First Baptist Church in Washington, and I'm sure they can't sing as well as this one, and so I hope I'll get an opportunity to hear you sing. I have an idea that there's a suspicion afloat around somewhere that I'm campaigning for the Democratic ticket. Well, that's my privilege, you see. The President of the United States is the head of his party, and the Democratic Party is in control of the Congress and the White House. So, it's my privilege to go around and report to the people of the United States just what the Democratic Party has done during the 7 years that I've been president. And it's the privilege of the Democratic candidate for president, who is now running for that office, to go around and tell you what he proposes to do to continue that situation. I've been through North Dakota and Montana yesterday and today, and I've had a most pleasant time. And I'm here to tell you that I didn't have any such crowds when I was trying to get elected. And I'm not running for anything. I've had a very pleasant time today with your governor, the Honorable John Bonner, who's made a great governor of this great state, and I've deemed it a privilege to be associated with him on this trip across Montana. I was with him many times before, and from what I've heard, he's made you a great governor, and you ought to put him back. I've also had a chance to get acquainted with Mr. Frazier, who's running for the Congress in the Eastern District of Montana, which they tell me is the biggest district and area in the whole United States. Covers more territory nearly than the state of Missouri. That's saying a lot. I don't admit that anything covers more territory than the state of Missouri, not at the present time at any rate. But I hope you'll send Mr. Frazier to the Congress, because I think it'll be to your interest to do it. You need a Democratic congressman here to help you get some things that you ought to have had a long time ago. If you'd had a congressman like Mike Mansfield and tell me that Frazier's the same kind of a fella, you'd have had a lot of things that you haven't now. I'm sure of that. And then, of course, you're going to send Mike to the Senate. If you do that, you'll have two of the best senators in the Senate of the United States, Mike Mansfield and Jim Murray, and it'll be an honorable representation for this great state and a help to the United States government. Now then, to cap that off, you must elect a Democratic president for the next 4 years. Adlai Stevenson and John Sparkman are running for president and vice president. Mr. Stevenson is the best new leader to come along since Franklin Roosevelt back in 1932. Like Roosevelt, he's been a fine governor of one of our greatest states, and he's proved himself to be an able, honest, and efficient administrator. In this campaign, Governor Stevenson is talking sense to the American people, and that's a lot more than you can say for the Republican candidate, I'll tell you. For 2 days now, I've been telling people some plain facts about the issues involved in this election that affect them very personally. That's why what I'm going to do here today. I'm going to talk about the subject of health, your health, the medical care you need, and the doctor's bills you have to pay. First, I want to read you something that was said by a woman many of you know, Mildred K. Stoltz of Sunburst, Montana. She went to Minneapolis a few weeks ago to testify before the President's Commission on Health Needs of the Nation. And this is what she said. Thousands of families pray daily that they may go through life without any of the major calamities of sickness, accidents, and untimely deaths happening to them. They are so vulnerable, they are so unprepared, that a major accident will wipe out the savings they have accumulated over long years of work. Now, this is a copy of that hearing that was held in Minneapolis, and an exact transcript of what I've been quoting to you. And it's printed at Minneapolis, Minnesota on September the 2nd, 1952, and it's available so you can see that the quotes I'm making from it are the exact truth and they fit the situation, because I'm told that this lady knows what she's talking about. Those words express exactly what the problem is, not only in Montana, but in most parts of the country. Now, the question is, what are we going to do about it? Ever since I took office, the Democratic administration has been trying to get something done about it, and nobody has worked harder in the cause than your own Jim Murray. I want to tell you, it's been a battle every step of the way. We've had to fight the pullbacks and the mossbacks and all the other kind of backs and all the people who are against any kind of progress at all. But we've made some progress in spite of them. For one thing, we've started a program of federal aid to help build hospitals. That's how you got your own hospital here in Cutbank. and I want you to know that I'm mighty glad you have it. And another thing that's been done is to add an Indian wing to the state tuberculosis hospital at Galen, Montana. Mike Mansfield got a bill through Congress for that purpose. You know Mike works hard for the Indians just like he does for all the people of Montana. Under the Mansfield bill, the federal government appropriated $1.5 million to build that wing on the state hospital. Then Montana, under a Democratic state administration, matched those funds. And this addition to the Galen Hospital is now complete and in operation, and it's a credit to the great state of Montana. That just shows you that the Democratic Party is interested in looking after the health and welfare of the American people. But we could have done a lot more than we have done to improve the health of the people of the United States. Now, who stopped us? Well, the Republicans in Congress, of course, the same crowd that's always against every progressive measure that's in the interest of the people. Let me tell you something about their record. They say in their platform that they are for aid to hospitals and medical research and improved health services, but their voting record proves just the opposite. They talk one way and they act another. Now let me give you some examples. In 1947, the Senate Republicans voted better than 4-1 to cut down our research on cancer. In 1950, 58% of the Republican congressmen voted against expanding our hospital program. In 1951, the Republican senators voted 9-1 to block federal help to train more doctors. And at the same year, they voted 4-1 against badly needed help for state and local public health units. And when I asked for an insurance program along the lines of Social Security to help you save to pay these doctors' bills, the Republicans made a political football out of the whole thing, and they put on the biggest smear campaign you ever saw. Now, do you want to trust your welfare to a crowd with a record like that? I don't think you do. You'd better not expect any help from the Republican candidate for president. He's even worse than the Republicans in Congress. He issued a statement the other day that's supposed to tell where he stands on health matters. And if it means what it says, it's the most reactionary document I ever saw. In his statement, the Republican general did not seem to know that there was a medical care problem. He did not come out for anything positive except locally administered indigent medical care programs. That means help for charity cases. He didn't say anything about all the other fine things the government is doing in the field of medicine. I wonder if the general knows that some of the greatest discoveries in medical history were made by government doctors and that millions of lives have been saved as a result. Maybe he never heard of the public health service. Maybe he wants to do away with it. I don't know. Maybe he never heard of the research the government is doing on cancer and heart disease and mental illness and many others. Or maybe he wants to do away with that research. Maybe he never heard of the Hill-Burton Act that helped you to get your hospital here. Or maybe he's against hospitals like that. I don't know. The Republican candidate has a sign on the back of his train that says, "Look ahead, neighbor." But when it comes to meeting the health needs of the people, that sign ought to say, "Look out, neighbor. You can't expect much help from me." That's true of a lot of other things, too. He's awful free and easy with generalities about the wonderful things he would do. But when it comes to specific issues, he always follows the line of special interest lobbies. I know, because I've been fighting those lobbies ever since I went to Washington in 1935. I'll tell you another story about this health thing. The American Medical Association had a spasm over it. They collected $25, or tried to, from all their members to go out and make a fight, and they hired a lot of experts in the public relations field to get them a slogan and tell the public what was the matter. And that public outfit decided that maybe socialized medicine would be a good slogan, and they got out that socialized medicine thing. And the other day in Philadelphia, before the Hospital Association of the United States, I told the Hospital Association what the facts are and what I was trying to do just to help people help themselves. The American Medical Association folded up its socialized medicine outfit, and the head of it joined the Republican Party to see if he couldn't keep health from being an issue in this campaign. Well, it can't, for I'm going to make it an issue. My advice to you is don't take a chance on a fella who doesn't know any more about the interior workings of the civil government of the United States than does that great General Eisenhower, and I'm very fond of him. I like him as a general, but I'm sure I'm not going to like him for President of the United States, and I want you to give this matter a great deal of thought. A great deal of thought, because your interests are at stake. It's you. You're the government. The people of the United States, because the Constitution says the power shall be lodged in the people. And the people have the right to exercise that power in the selection of their public servants, from the county to the state to the nation. And if you use good judgment, you'll always have good government. But if you don't, you're liable to get something you'll be sorry for. Now, I can tell you something you can do next November. You can look out for your own interests. You can look out for the welfare of this great nation. You can look out for the peace of the world. If you go to the polls, vote the Democratic ticket, and then the country would be safe for another 4 years. You've had experience with this situation. Help yourselves. Help the nation. Vote the Democratic ticket, and let's have 4 more years of safety and good governance.